Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
Thank you. It's a real honor and privilege to be here. I look at the beach and kind of, I don't know if you ever saw that movie Soul Survivor, where she surfs into the beach, throws on a little dress that was hanging on the tree, and then walks into church. And I remember turning to my wife saying, there's got to be a calling for a pastor there. But God places us where we are, and he has reasons for it. And I'm so thankful for what God is doing in the city of London with churches, especially in the last few years. There's been a really wonderful shift. And for the first time, I remember, I weep a little bit sometimes, so just that's just the way I am. But I remember saying not too long ago that for the first time in history, I would have shared my heart with that group. I'm going to go on that group for about 10 years, and I wouldn't have done that, but there's just such a tightness and a unity and a support that for the first time, I feel like if I was really going through something serious, and I've been through some stuff. I've had kids. I've had teenagers. I was a youth leader for 20 years and directed a youth camp for 25 years. I've been through some stuff. And I see Ron and Nancy here, and I remember... Remember one weekend going through something, and I went to the church to pray, and I was just sobbing my heart out. And Patty called Ron and said, "You need to go and be with Dave." And so he came in and he just started praying, and it was kind of funny. And I don't mean to put Ron down, but he did the generic prayer: "Well, we pray for the job, we pray for the finance, we pray for the health of the family, we pray for Patty." And he was trying to figure out what I was going on, because every time he asked me what was going on, I just began to cry some more. And then a little later on, we were able to come together and just I was able to share my heart. And that's one of the things I'm going to get to a little later, is we need to have friends we can go to. And I love the front of your little bullet in your handout this week that is a season of prayer. There is a shift right now in the spirit. There is a definite shift that is a time for prayer. It is a time to press in. It's a season unlike others. There's been some times when we press in for prayer, it's been difficult. There hasn't been the reward. But this is a season of reward and of harvest and a time to press in. It is an important season for the church to pray. And I'm here to declare to you this morning that Jesus is the chain breaker. That the name of Jesus breaks chains. He breaks chains of addiction. He breaks chains of your past. He breaks chains of culture. He breaks chains of words that have been spoken to you. Jesus, that name above all names, the names that they're trying to quiet. Even recently at a minister's thing, it was mentioned, why don't we just pray to God? Just use the name of God and leave Jesus out because we might offend somebody. Folks, it's time to offend some people. Amen. It's time to let the name of Jesus be lifted up. The name of Jesus who can and will break chains that are on your life and in your life. He is here today, and this morning at the end when we're going to pray for some people, we are going to pray that Jesus breaks chains off of you, that he gives you the power and the belief and the authority and and just the unction to go and to prophetically speak to people and break chains. God has come to set us free in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus, our chain breaker. So why don't we just bow in prayer. Father, this morning I'm so thankful that as they sang that song, it really hit my spirit. We open up the gates. Father, this morning, we just ask you to come in. King of glory, would you come in this morning? Would you move in our lives? Would you move in our families? Would you move in our streets and our schools? King of glory, we ask you to come in. We're desperate for a move of God in our nation and in our city. We're desperate for a move of God in our families. So, Father, we ask you to come in. And we don't ask you to come in to keep us the same, but we ask you to come in and break chains, set people free, give them liberty, baptize them in the fullness of the Spirit. Let the gifts be used to bless and encourage and lift up. And I pray for this church, Impact Church, and I pray for all the churches that are Bible-believing and Spirit-filled, Father, that you would just allow them to be not just a torch, but a bonfire for the Holy Ghost. That people would see the light burning from afar off and say, "What is that over there? I have to go see." And it would be like a Moses experience. I'm going to take off my shoes because I sense the presence of the living God here. So, Father, we ask that you will just touch lives today and encourage people and lift up their faith this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I already can't see my notes. Amen, amen. Turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts is always a good book to be reading. Acts chapter 3, we're going to read 1 to, I'll tell you where. I want to be cognizant of the time to leave some time for altar time. So Acts chapter 3. As Mike was saying, if you've been in Sunday school, you've read this story before, but for some it may be newer. We're going to look at some certain things in it. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple. They were going up to church to pray. It was about 3 p.m, and a certain man, I want you to take note of that, those four words, and a certain man, lame from birth, from his mother's womb, was carried. And they carried him daily to the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And he was there to ask for alms, and to, that's how he made his living. He was begging from those who entered the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go in the temple, and he asked for alms, and Peter and John fixed his eyes on him, and Peter said, "Look at us." And so the man gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up." I believe that was part of that word that Ron was given this morning, that prophetic word, which was very strong. This is a season to rise up, church. It is a new season. It's a new day. Rise up in your faith. Rise up in your action. Rise up in your expectation. When he said here, "Rise up," he didn't just say rise up, but he extended his right hand and lifted him. And immediately, for the first time since birth, his feet had strength. His ankle bones received strength. So he stood up leaping. And I was praying this morning and never even thought about this. If you've never walked in your life, how do you stand up leaping and walking and praising God? That is a supernatural miracle. Not just the healing, but the fact that you can walk, the fact that you can go, the fact that you can just begin to praise. That is supernatural. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And then they knew that it was he. It was the one who had sat begging at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. I love this little section. And the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John. He was probably hanging on to them for dear life. And all the people who were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. And they gathered around. And verse 12, when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you look so intently at us as if we did this by our own power or godliness? We didn't make this man walk. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his son, his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate. But when he was determined to let him go," down to verse 16, "and his name, through faith in his name, which is Jesus, has made this man strong." This is the one you see and know. Yes, faith comes through him and has given him this perfect soundness. Down to verse 19. When you have a group of people who are asking questions, when you have a group of people run into your house, when people begin to hear your miracles and your signs and wonders and they come running, make sure they get the message of verse 19. "Here's my testimony, and then you need to repent and be saved." And Mike referred to this phrase, so that times of refreshing. It's not just repent and be saved, but you need to be refreshed in the Holy Spirit. You need to be refreshed in Him. So that times of refreshing, they come from Buddha. They come from Allah. No, they only come from one name, and that is the name of Jesus, that name that is above all names, and they come from being in the presence of the Lord. Amen? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the lame shall stand. In the name of Jesus, the blind will see. We're hearing reports all over the world of great miracles and signs and wonders going on. And Carl's very quick at our minister's meeting. He's been a real hoot, a real blessing to have come in. We don't need it in other places. We need it here. And we want it here. And there's been times I wanted to travel down to some of those places, but you know what? Too often we're chasing the signs and wonders, and we're not chasing God. And if we would chase God with that same passion, we would see those signs and wonders. Amen. He came to break the chains of oppression off people. Jesus came down to us to set us free. Jesus came down to give us liberty. And Jesus came because He went down, it says in Colossians, I love this part, He went down and made a spectacle of them. He went down and beat the living snot out of Brian, took the keys, and went. Not I'm saying Brian's a devil, but just... He made a spectacle of them. I love that phrase. Can you imagine that? Yeah. Going into someone's house, into someone's down in the hood, if you will, and making a spectacle of someone and taking the keys off the wall. That name that is above all names breaks the power of the enemy. So here we are in Jerusalem, chapter 3, and these two guys are going to a prayer meeting, and they're off to church, if you will. But verse 2 says, and a certain man... This man has no name. He's never talked about. His name is never given again. Daily, faithful friends, daily, faithful family members, whoever it was, carried him to the gate. That is a huge commitment. But daily, these friends did something for this man. You need to note this. Sometimes you need friends to have your breakthrough. We need heaven, but sometimes we need people on earth to walk with us. It is important to have those friends you can link with. It's important to have those friends you can share your heart with. It's important to have those friends that you can call in the midst of a terrible situation and say, I need prayer now. Friends to support you in your time of weakness. It's also interesting that how come Jesus walked by this man probably hundreds of times, they speculate. Some people say, well, Jesus healed everyone he saw. Not true. He walked by this man many times, but he never healed him. I believe there was a plan. Jeremiah tells us he has plans for us. Jesus has spoken otherwise. There is plans and purposes for you. So why would he walk by this man? Because there was a certain time and there was a certain day. And it says here, there was a certain man. It's now his time. God has an appointment for him. Do you want to know something? There are many of you going through things in your lives, and you need to stand and be encouraged in this. There is a time for you and a place for you. Hang in there. Time is coming. God is coming. He has not forsaken you. He has not left you alone. He has not forgotten you. The enemy's whispering in your ear. It's not going to happen. It's too late. It's never too late with God. You can die and it's not too late because He can resurrect you out of the grave. It is not too late. Because God is always there, and God has the power to speak. There is life in the words we just heard. Do not let the enemy tell you it's too late. Do not let the enemy tell you he doesn't care. This man heard about this man Jesus, the great healer forever, and heard about him and heard him walk by, probably called out to him. But Jesus was just under his breath going, I've got something better coming. Don't worry, it's coming. So one day, these two guys are walking into church, and he calls out. Now Peter is released, full of the Holy Spirit, full of power. And now there's going to be an expectation, because now the whole city is ready. You know that they had. Sometimes you got to prepare a city, sometimes you got to prepare your family, sometimes you got to prepare your workplace, but when it's time, God will move, and there'll be a mighty shaking. Verse 8 and 9, let's take a look there. And so the man, leaping and stood up, walking and leaping and praising God. And the people saw him and they were confused. And is this the man? Is that the man? Are you sure this was the man? And then they knew it was the man who sat there, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what the Lord had done. I want you to note this. Your worship will attract people. Your worship will attract people. How you respond will attract people. People are watching you at work. People are watching you in the different places. I used to work at 3M. And sometimes when you're in a place, and especially in the midnight shift, you think you're all alone and you're singing in the warehouse and you come around the corner and all of a sudden, hi, Brian. People are always watching you and watching your response. Look in Acts chapter 4. Just flip over to the next chapter. Look what happens as a result. They were basically thrown in prison. But look at chapter 4, verse 4. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number was about 5,000. Many, many, many people heard the testimony. Many people heard the words that Peter and John spoke. They heard the words of life, and they saw the action, and they saw the love, and they saw the fulfillment of all those things. One act of faith brought in over 5,000 people, and actually in history it would be close to 12,000 to 15,000 people. See, a certain day and a certain man, God has things appointed for you. Peter offered and it was expecting something. That's why he put the hand out. He just didn't say, Bill, it's time to get up. He said, now. Now is the time. And he put faith to action. That same spirit that dwells in you, now it is time for the church of Jesus Christ to begin to walk out with that same expectation. It is time for that church of Jesus Christ to be in the nursing homes and in the churches. It is time for us. I've been really feeling led of the Lord. One of my neighbors just down the corner came up to me a few weeks ago, and I said, I haven't seen you out much lately. And he says, I've got degenerative discs. I'm in severe pain. And he said, I'm just on my way to the doctor now. And he left, and immediately the Lord says, you need to pray for him. And I thought, yep. I've got to step out of my box. I could wait for him to come to church because, you know, well, Lord, you bring him to church and I'll pray. But Jesus perform most of the miracles not in the temple but out in the highways and byways, and he's the one who sets the example for us. He said to go. He didn't say to sit. He said to go and to do, not to be complacent and wait for them to come out. So we're to be in the highways and the byways and laying hands on people and expecting and reaching out and saying it's time. That would have been a good time for an amen. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, great things can happen and will happen. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, ask him to tune up your ear to hear. Hey, pray for the one in the purple. Be at a Walmart and pray for the one. One of the greatest things I enjoy doing is when I'm in a store and someone is short money and they have to put things back, to step forward with $5 and say, here, take this. It is awesome. Because people are cheap. But the church should be generous in giving. Jesus gave it all. Why can't we be generous in giving? We speak through the word, and our word cuts chains. Ephesians says that the word is the spirit, and that the spirit is the word. So when we speak, it speaks with power. It speaks with authority. So learn to speak the word and have the word in your mouth and in your heart and speak the word and expect chains to fall off. Speak the word and expect people to be healed. Speak the word and expect lives to be changed. Speak the word and expect the city to be transformed. The Old Testament did not say, can the city be changed in a day? There are going to be surprises for us. I have no idea what they are, but I know in my spirit there are some surprises coming for Canada. For the United States, and the United States sure needs it. Aren't you thankful you're not voting in November? Yeah. Saw a Facebook cartoon where a guy's hitting his head against a wall or on his desk, I think it is, and he's holding up a Hillary thing and a Trump thing. The good news is, I tell you what, there's some prayer meetings going on. There's one tomorrow night online. They're expecting thousands of people across the United States to come together to pray for revival and change. And then there's a huge networking in late October. Actually, it's the week before the election. I remember thinking, that is pretty cool. Exactly almost, I think it's 8 days before the election. There's a huge network of live stream churches coming together to pray for deliverance and overcoming and revival. They expect millions to be online. And the one man told me privately, he says, Dave, I really believe it's going to shake the nation. And I said, did you look at the timing of it? And he said, I hadn't looked at the timing of it till the other day. And my wife said the same thing. He said, God's on the move.
Don't be concerned about, we get too caught up in politics and we get too caught up. Our hydro bills are nuts. What can you do about it? You pay it and move on. Gas is crazy. Pay it and move on. I've still got people down the street that don't know Jesus Christ. That's more important than my stupid hydro. Anyway, don't get me on politics. Verse 11, it says, the people ran to them. When you have good news, when God has moved in your life, they will run to hear what is going on. The New Living Translation says, they rushed out in amazement to hear what had happened. When was the last time people came rushing into church to say, hey, Pat, what happened? What happened the other night? We need to have them running in. When God moves in your life, tell people what the Lord has done. There used to be a chorus a long time ago, look what the Lord has done. We need to be telling people. I often tell my church, don't stand up and preach the gospel. Please do not do that, which offended some of the older people, but that's okay. Please do not stand up and preach the gospel. Show people how much you love them and tell them your testimony. They can argue theology with you all day long, but they can't argue your testimony. I once used to be a drunk, but now I'm saved. I love the one in the Gospels here where the guy gets healed and and the church's members are all upset about it and they're saying, why did you get healed and what's going on? He says, hey, I don't know anything other than this guy, Jesus touched me. You can't argue Jesus. Tell them what the Lord has done. It is an important season for prayer in the church. And I believe the Holy Spirit is prompting us to press in. I believe we're at a crucial time. We're at almost like the gates. It's an important session for us. And we're on the edge of a great outpouring, I believe. And prayer is always a must. And I will caution you on this. Without prayer, you can't have revival. But don't think that your prayers can force revival either. You can't force God to do anything. He will move when and where he wants, but without prayer, he won't move. Prayer always releases the supernatural. It releases our ear to hear. It releases an expectation in us. A certain man, why now? Because God had a plan. God didn't forget him. There are some people here this morning, it's very much in my heart, God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten your circumstances. And God is going to see you through. A certain man. This guy's been going through hell most of his life. H-E-double-L. Going through hell most of his life. But God showed up today. God provided an answer today. And God released that man to go running and jumping and praising God. Sometimes he delays things to build in us. He always says he will build faith in us. And he'll build a perseverance in us. If you don't learn to persevere, you will never be a strong Christian. But that's why Ephesians says, having done all you can do, how many of you have done all you can do in some situations? What's the last two words? Stand. How many of you don't like those words? Having done all, stand. You know what it really means? Having done all, stand and leave it up to the Lord. Amen. But Brian and I are the same. We kind of like to help God out sometimes, you know. Well, Lord, you're taking a little long on this, so maybe I'll just go and take care of this one for you. You get the next one. And then we have to call them up later on after we've made a mess. God's word teaches us to stand, teaches us to persevere, teaches us to build faith, teaches us to release the gifts. The gifts, let me say something, folks, the gifts need to be released so much in this day. The gift of the prophetic, and by that I mean wisdom and knowledge. We need to be speaking those things, healings and miracles. All the gifts need to be unfolded and given out. They're not always meant to be in the church. They're meant to be out there. Unwrap them for the world to see. You can be birthing miracles through prayer. You can be birthing miracles through prayer. But remember, birthing takes time. But you can be birthing things in prayer, real prayer, powerful prayer. Prayer is not theology. Prayer is not a formula. Prayer is an act of faith. It is verbally communicating and joining your heart with heaven. We are called to pray and speak out. And for some of you here today, forget the lie. Learn to forget the lie. that you're not qualified. Have you read your Bible lately? Most of them were not qualified. The disciples, the dirty dozen, seriously. Who would have picked any of those to be in your group? Peter, a loudmouth, drunken fisherman, who would pick him? But God said, I know what you are, and I know what you can be, and I know what will happen when I fill you with my Holy Spirit. See, God sees the end. He doesn't see the beginning. God sees how he can change you and form you into something beautiful and something strong. There's a song out now, he can make you into diamonds. God has a plan for you and a purpose for you. Your prayers bring forth miracles. Your prayers will change things. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, I want you to look at this again. Because we sang a song, or it was mentioned, maybe it was in the prophetic word. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness, with power, with expectation, with faith. Folks, when we get together, the earth should begin to shake. I've been in some conferences, and I know you have too. Sometimes in the worship, all of a sudden there'll just be a lifting up and the prayer will begin to happen. You just, oh my goodness, what's happening? And you can just feel a shaking in the atmosphere. God is moving. When you pray and you pray with people, there should be a shaking going on in heaven. There should be a shaking going on around that the people, when you leave, go, what happened at Impact today? The church has power and authority. Speak it out. Over in Acts chapter 16, you want to flip over there. Around verse 23. Here we are, we see Paul and Silas, a very familiar piece of scripture. It would appear that for Paul and Silas, it's too late, it's done. They've been falsely accused. They've been beaten. It says in most Bibles they had stripes, and I originally used to think that was whips, but in doing some research again this weekend, because it said they were beaten with rods, I found that the rods were like a piece of doweling, probably inch and a half piece of doweling, like being beaten with a hockey stick. And they would leave welts, and sometimes they would break the skin, and those were the stripes. It says, when you look in the Strong's, a severe blow, possibly a deadly blow. And they're in prison. And Brian, you used to play hockey. You've been hit with a few hockey sticks. Didn't you play hockey? Who was the one here for you? Well, I know Carl did, but there was someone from here I used to run into once in a while playing hockey. And I know what it's like to be hit with a hockey stick. It hurts. And here are these guys beaten with rods. And it's midnight. And I don't know about you, but at midnight, after being beaten, being in front of the magistrate all day long, at midnight, I just want to sleep. I really don't want to pray. I really don't want to worship. Even on a good day at midnight, I probably just want to go to bed. But look at these guys. And when they laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, verse 16:23. And they commanded the jailer to keep them securely, verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing to God. Have you noticed this part before? And the prisoners were listening. Your actions and your words have power and authority, and they have influence in them. Because as I said earlier, people are watching you. People are watching your reaction. Can you imagine those guys singing, who's waking us up at night? Well, those guys who just got beaten to death. What do you mean, them? They're singing and they're praying. Can you believe it? Your praises, this is a thought the Lord gave me last week. And this is important. You need to write this down. Your praises will open doors the opposition has tried to close. Your praises will open doors the opposition has tried to close. Your praise, I think Carly said this morning, your praise changes the atmosphere. What comes out of your mouth, what you convey is important. Your praise changes the atmosphere where you are. It affects others around you. And as you begin to praise, it will break through. Verse 25, the prisoners were listening. Be wise and be strong in the Lord. And then it says that in verse 26, the place was shaken. The doors were open. Most of us have seen earthquakes and doors and windows are cast open. But tell me, how do shackles fall off people in an earthquake? That doesn't happen. Doors will open, windows will fall out, foundations will be shaken, but shackles don't fall off people. That is another supernatural move of God. When God moves in your life, the supernatural shows up. When God moves in your life, chains will be broken off of you, and you will be set free in that wonderful, powerful name of Jesus. Your prayers are chain-breaking prayers. Your prayers have the power to shake the foundations of the very things that are holding you back. Some of you didn't catch that. Your prayers will break and shake the foundations of things that are holding you back. There are things that have put you in prison, and your prayers need to shake those things and loose you in Jesus' name. When God moves, those God encounters will change lives. It changed. Everybody in that prison got saved. The jailer and his family got saved. All because of one prayer meeting and one worship session. What would happen when the churches of London begin to worship and pray like that? We need to be prayer shaking, chain breaking believers and moving on. When God moves, God will change lives. Jesus is a chain breaking God. Jesus is an earth-shaking God. To a few people this morning, don't give up. Let your prayers shake the prison. Whatever is holding you, finances, some of you have health issues, some of you have family issues. This morning, I'm here to declare to you and encourage you, don't give up. He's here to shake the chains off of you. He is here to shake that prison that is trying to hold you back. And in Jesus' name, those doors are going to burst open. Amen. Don't give up. Let your prayers shake the place. Don't give up. Let your prayers push those chains off. Let the Holy Spirit of God that is in you be the chain breaker. Susan did a phenomenal job finding that little icon. Chain-breaking prayer. It is a season of prayer. It is a season of change. There is a shift in the atmosphere. There is something going on. I said to someone a while ago, and it was actually very, I just said it, but it turned out to be very prophetic. But you know when there's a rainstorm coming and all of a sudden you can go, I smell rain in the air. Folks, there's rain in the air. And it's close. There is a spiritual outpouring in the air. It's in the atmosphere. He's ready to move. He's ready to take us up that elevator. He's ready for change. He's just waiting for us. So in this season of prayer that Impact is in and others are in, I encourage you, press into your prayer. It's a season of change. Press into prayer and believe for change for others and their circumstances, that chains will be broken in Jesus' name. Let's pray. I'll ask the worship team to come back. And Father, this morning it's very much on my heart that there are some people here that are in chains. They feel like they're in a prison. They've been maybe needing to hear this message that they feel like Jesus has gone by, but you are reminding them today you have never left them or forsaken them, but you have a plan. And your plan is always what is best for the kingdom and what is good for us. Because you want to reap a mighty harvest. So Father, I speak to those that are in physical problems today, those that are in financial problems, those that are in family issues, and they feel like they are chained and have no freedom, that you set them free in Jesus' name right now. And Father, we will lift them up as the body of Christ. We will come together like those faithful friends and family who lifted that man every single morning and took him to the gate and every single night took him home. Father, what a burden, what a hardship. And yet because of love and of grace, they did it. That's what the body of Christ needs to have. Love and grace for those around us. So Father, this morning, if there's someone here who does not know Jesus Christ, maybe they're a slave to sin or a slave to alcohol or a slave to drugs. Something's got a hold of them and you brought them here this morning and they've been wondering, how did I even end up here? You ended up here because God loves you. You ended up here because there's someone who is very concerned about you and his name is Jesus and he died for you. And Mike even referred to John 3:16. John 3:16 says, the most famous verse in the Bible, for God so loved everybody in the world that he gave his only son, the only one he had, and he sent him to earth and said, I'll let you do what you need to do with him, and he's there to die for you because he loves you. And Jesus went to the cross and paid our debt of sin, was buried, and people thought it was over, but it's never over with Jesus. Because 3 days later, he announced, I'm coming back. And he rose from the dead to show us that it is never over. We may die physically, but we rise again to go to heaven with him. And that's our hope and that's our joy. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, you can have that reassurance of how much he loves you. If there's anyone here this morning that's not saved, I'm going to ask you to come on up to the front. We'd like to pray for you. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we'd just like you to come to the front and just pray with you and encourage you. Maybe you're someone who made a decision years ago and you've wandered away. Now's a good time to get serious with the Lord. It's a serious day. Why don't you come on up? We'd love to pray for you. Come on up. We'd just love to tell you how much Jesus loves you. Is there anybody this morning? I'm going to ask the prayer team to come on up. We're going to open the altars. And I'm going to encourage the prayer team to flow prophetically as well. But if there's some people here this morning and you feel like you're in a prison, you are ready to give up, you feel like you're in chains, you just, I've had enough, we'd like you to come to the front this morning. Because these people are going to be like those faithful friends. These people are going to be like those faithful family who carried that man to the gate. And we will pray with you and we will believe for change. And we will put you on the prayer list and we will hang with you until there is a change. But we believe this morning, the Lord gave me this message. And I believe it's for people here. He is a chain-breaking God and he will set you free in the name of Jesus. Today is your day of deliverance. Come on up and let's pray for you. Come on up to the front and we'll just stand with you and encourage you.
Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this beautiful Sunday. We thank you, Lord, that you are breaking every chain. We thank you, Lord, that you are a faithful friend. And Lord, that you are a miracle-working God. And Lord, we thank you for every impact person just blessed them this week. Thank you, Lord, that we're walking in miracles and anointing and power in Jesus, that you are with us every week. And God, let us be praying for our new series, What is Jesus Doing, right now. So we bless everybody. Have a great Sunday with your family and friends. We look forward to seeing you next week. And have a great day.